This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Hello and welcome to Well, 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 yet again. Jack here, and I'm joined today by the fabulous Murray, of course, and the exceptional Tex from the Victorian AIDS Council. Thanks to Pete for the news and to the wonderful Adam, of course, for the morning show. G'day, Tim. How are we travelling on this very special occasion?
Why is it a special occasion, John?
Yes, tell
Jack,
us why.
Well, Murray, why, you tell me, why is it special today?
It's special because it's our 450th show, so it's our birthday today.
It is.
And we're celebrating. We had cake before.
Yep.
We're saying happy birthday.
That's a long time, and because it ages some of us and some more than others, doesn't it?
It does, Tex.
Tex, you've been around for a lot of that time.
I've been around for a while, yes, it's true.
And when did you start on the show?
Oh, look, it was around 7 or 8 years ago. I was just having a chat with our guest, who I'll be introducing in a second, or talking about in a second. But yeah, look, I started 7 or 8 years ago, which means it was about 2007 or thereabouts. I was on air with Kylie and Max, who were previous co-hosts.
We remember them.
And look, I'm delighted to let the listeners know that today we have as our special guest a former colleague, Jason Asselin. Now, Jason's been part of the history of Well, Well, Well. He's been part of the history across the universe. But he now has other responsibilities in sexual health and well-being, but in a slightly different context.
At Well, 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 we talk about all topics that relate to the GLBTI community, and we are all about sex, health and well-being. And over 450 shows, that has not changed, and it's remained consistent.
That's right. It'll be good to have Jason join us to reflect on his time at this very microphone, everybody, and to look back at some of the highlights over the many years that we've been on air, but also to look forward and explore the work he's currently undertaking.
Mm-hmm. So, Jack, how can people get involved in the conversation today and wish us happy birthday?
Well, we've always got our lovely Facebook page. You can like us on facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. Send us an email. That would be great if you did send us an email. onair@joy.org.au, or send us an SMS, of course, 0427JOY949. And you can also tweet us, Murray, at WellWellWell.
What's Joy. A tweet?
A tweet? Oh, it's that, all that social media stuff. Murray, please be kind to me. Social media, you know, I'm not into it that much.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Joining Murray, Jack and I in the studio is our special guest and former colleague, Jason Asselin.
Should we clap?
Yeah! Welcome back!
Indeed. He is and always will be our Canadian boy. And that was in reference to the song being called...
Let's just move past that.
American Boy.
American Boy.
By whom?
Estelle.
By who? Estelle and who?
Now, Jason, you were the host of the Well, Well, Well show. Take us back to when you started.
Well, that actually pretty much goes back to when I first arrived in Australia. So I moved to Melbourne to work at the AIDS Council.
Straight
from Canada. So okay. I moved from Toronto in September of 2007. Mm. Somewhat naive at the time, not really knowing what I was getting into. But I remember the heaviest thing I brought in September in Melbourne was a cardigan. Standing
at a
tram stop.
They're not very fashionable, are they, anymore?
Excuse me.
It was freezing. Anyway, moving on. A couple of months later, I was asked to join Tex and Kylie on air, and I was slightly petrified. The idea of coming onto radio was a bit... It was very new to me. I was a bit daunting. And I remember Tex was constantly trying to slow me down because I was speaking really, really quickly in my anxious little mode.
But look at you now. You've got the slow Australian drawl.
I've got the drawl, exactly. And from that first show, I then stuck around. Hmm. And it was...
Back then, it was an evening show, wasn't it?
It was an evening show. And it was an evening show when I wrapped up at the AIDS Council as well. So, that was back in August of last year, I think I did my final program. So how long is that? Close to five, 6 years?
Yeah. So it's your anniversary, actually.
Time out of mind.
Coming to Australia, joining VAC, going on radio, and then finishing almost. It's gone full circle.
Yeah, I seem to do everything in this country around August, September. That's when I make the big moves. So it'll be my seventh year in the country. It'll be my almost my one-year anniversary from leaving the AIDS Council. Everything happens
I
in
can't
spring.
Believe it's that long.
Indeed.
Seasonal changes.
It is.
Now, Jason, are there any particular highlights from those many, many years you hosted or co-hosted, either as guests you had on the program or topics that you covered?
I think I
might be nice to everybody.
No.
Listening. All your colleagues
Bill,
listening.
Dish it.
I think the one that always comes to mind is when we had Francesco Di Macho in town.
Oh, he was my favorite. One of my favorites. Yeah, you remember?
I remember. I do remember that.
I'm shrugging. I don't know who that is.
Oh, so
porn star.
We'll Google during the break.
Jason. Oh,
so we launched the protection campaign, which was a campaign using hothouse images. And we brought him out to Melbourne to do a couple of campaign launch events for us. And he marched with us at Pride March, and we had him on air. And I don't think I was able to stop blushing the entire interview. He was massive, but it was just so warm and charming that you couldn't just...
He was a gentle giant.
He was a gentle giant. And oddly enough, that night... When coming into Joy Studios back in South Melbourne at the time, my partner at the now was doing his Joy training and met
Francesco.
Me through Francesco, essentially. Oh. I just was
he met
next
you
to him.
Through Trent.
Well, I was invited. We were introducing Francesco to everyone in the studio, and you know, I'm just basically dwarfed by Francesco. So it was this is Francesco, and hi, I'm Jason. And
so if it wasn't for that porn star that coming out for sexual health programs and health initiatives, you wouldn't have met your partner.
Probably not.
How interesting.
Or maybe not. If not for Francesco, definitely not for Joy.
And tell us something about the campaign itself. Was it deemed to be successful? It was a bit controversial, wasn't it?
It was very controversial. It was a great way, I guess, it was the first big project that I took on when I started working at VAC, and, it was a steep learning curve, so there was lots of controversy. Controversy. There was some fairly conservative backlash to the use of fairly sexually explicit images. And it was just really interesting to see the level of community debate going on, both for and against the campaign, which, for the time that I'd been working in the HIV prevention field in Canada, I'd never seen anything like that before. So it was a great way to get to know some of the key stakeholders, get to, you know, have those conversations here on Joy. It was a great experience.
What were some of the arguments?
There was some within the community that thought the fact that we were using such sexualized images would impede our community's ability to kind of fight for the bigger issues of gay marriage. So it was that almost the sex positive versus maybe more the conservative values within the community, that there were competing agendas within the community at play. And it was just really fascinating to see that come out in that particular way.
Wow.
But I think
you also inspired international responses. That I know the UK picked up that protection campaign. And I've seen the products they've produced, and that really follows on from VAC's innovative approach.
Yeah, I mean, the campaign did pick up a lot of attention worldwide. And I think it also helped that we had the production house on our side. The campaign was hugely successful in terms of garnering community awareness around some of the messages that were there. It evaluated very, very well. It was the highest recall and recognition of a campaign that had been done in Australia, I think.
Wow.
God, for the last 10 years at least. So it was a great success. And I think it was really what kick-started the AIDS Council's social marketing from 2007 onwards.
And so much so that during the most recent AIDS 2013 conference, we did an SOPV tour, so into the sex venues, where the posters from this protection campaign were, well, it was one of the few areas we were allowed to put the posters up because they were very sex positive. They showed a penis covered in a condom entering an anus. I don't know how more polite I can write that. I can say that.
Bon appétit for everyone
but,
eating lunch.
We got a lot of comment from people who were saying, this is really outrageous. How can I get this sent to me? And we knew that I knew that when I got back to work after the conference, I wouldn't be able to send hard copies of the posters to them, but I could send them links. So I could send them
these are
images.
International delegates
images of the posters into especially Southeast Asian countries where they wrote to me saying, don't send the original artwork because it won't make it past the censors.
Yeah.
How else can you send it? So we managed to send it as an attachment, and it was something that worked.
I just remember when we were presenting on the campaign at the Mexico City International AIDS Conference in 2008, my boss, Colin Batruni, was going through Mexican customs with this box of campaign resources. And the way in which you go through customs is an interesting one. You basically push a little button and it's at random, green or red means
which
you're getting inspected.
Which I think is great. I reckon it's a really good system.
Very interesting. But he got red.
Except if you're carrying explicit images.
And the experience after that much flying was, I think, a bit jarring to say the least. But we got the resources into the country and it formed a great discussion. But that's a long, long time ago now.
Indeed it is.
Jason, you were talking to us before. You left VAC, Victorian AIDS Council, in 2013, just last year. Mm-hmm. A year ago, exactly.
And we're all around the office. We miss you.
Of course. You weren't even there.
But you're with us for just on
it's
7
radio.
Years. 7 years. Of course, but people still talk about
they
you.
They do.
Oh, yes, lovingly at times.
Your name's still scratched into the desk, of course.
Well, that's nice.
But you're with us for 7 years in health promotion. And you're the team leader, the first team leader in health promotion at VAC. Now, can you tell us where you are now working, please?
So last year I was offered an opportunity at the Burnett Institute that I had to jump at. So
an opportunity too good to refuse.
Too good to refuse, I think.
Expanding horizons.
Yeah.
Money.
no, not money. But so I'm currently a research assistant working on a national HIV prevalence project, which I can talk a bit more in detail about if we're keen. But maybe I can start by explaining a little bit about what Burnett does.
Yeah.
So Burnett's focus is really around infectious diseases of, you know, global significance. So, you know, our work in HIV and AIDS, both here and abroad, as well as hepatitis, viral hepatitis, malaria, TB. And that work is done across 3 centers. The first of which is the Center for Biomedical Research, which features a team of immunologists and virologists, one of whom our listeners may be aware of, which was Sharon Lewin, who is the co-chair of the AIDS 2014 conference. So she's from within the Burnett ranks. There's also the Center for International Health, which essentially comprises a lot of our work in the Asia-Pacific region. So we have some offices in Myanmar and elsewhere in Southeast Asia, and are heavily involved in doing some international health work in the region.
Sure.
And finally, the Center for Population Health, which is where I'm based, and we have... I wouldn't even know how many people we have, but it's a fairly multidisciplinary team that works on key health issues like injecting drug use, alcohol and other drugs, young people's sexual health, justice health, and HIV work as well, which is the work that I've been involved in.
It's a remarkable breadth of subjects and research.
It is, and I think the fact that we have the, you know, the 3 centers that are coming at the issues from very different perspectives...
Yep.
Helps us really achieve some great outcomes.
Now, Jason, you mentioned you're working on stuff right now. So what's the project you're working on right now? You were talking about a seroprevalence study.
Yeah. So,
And can you deconstruct that so the listener might understand?
I sure can. So I'll start with an easy word, which is the COUNT study. So some listeners may have seen the COUNT study out and about in Melbourne in January or February, where we were asking men to provide a saliva sample as they filled out the gay community periodic survey.
Oh, that was a midsummer carnival day.
Yeah, around midsummer. So we were at carnival as well as at sex venues, bars and clubs.
Yep.
And essentially what we were wanting to do was look at the prevalence or how much HIV there was in the community. And of those who were HIV positive on their saliva sample, were unaware of the fact that they were carrying the virus, so were undiagnosed. Now, this study builds on a previous one done in 2008 that Burnett was involved in, which was called Suck It and See.
Yeah,
That was probably the first time that I had an opportunity to work with Burnett while I was working at the AIDS Council.
Yep.
And it was a much smaller scale study, which was about 600 participants, but was the first of its kind, really, in Australia to look at how much undiagnosed infection we had in the gay community.
And what did it uncover?
So the Suck It and See was recruiting only in sex venues and social venues. So, you know, we know from the gay community periodic survey that it's, you know, that's probably where most of the risk tends to lie.
Mm.
And what we saw was that of those who are HIV positive, that was about 9.6%. Up to a third were unaware of their their infection. So,
it's significant.
Yeah. So what's really exciting about Count is that we are, you know, we're repeating that study in Melbourne, but we're actually broadening the recruitment to include community events, so a broader scope of gay men, and also taking it to other cities across Australia. So we've already done recruitment in Sydney. And that's the first time a study like this has been done in Sydney.
Mm.
We've gone to Perth.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the warm weather is coming back, we're heading off to Brisbane next month and hopefully to Adelaide in November. So it'll really provide us with a fairly large sample to be able to look at how things are changing around the country.
And you said they're swab tests?
Yeah, so we use an oral fluid specimen or a saliva sample.
Yeah.
And the test is done in laboratory, so participants can opt whether or not they want to receive the result, but they don't get it on the day, so they'll get the results in about 2 to 3 weeks time.
And I would imagine that would be a high amount that would saying that they would want the results,
or? Yeah, about 3/4 of the people that have participated to date have opted to receive the results.
Right. Okay. Mm. And yeah. any follow-up question about why a certain person wouldn't want their result, or that's not looked at?
It's not looked at. So it's entirely up to them. So when Suck It and See was done, it was entirely anonymous. The participants couldn't receive their results. So, you know, I think one of the innovative elements to Count is the fact that, you know, we're seeking to estimate how much undiagnosed HIV there is, but at the same time, hopefully diagnose some of it in the process. Yeah. So it's been an interesting shift, and it's also quite... it's quite telling to see how acceptable these types of testing models are.
Absolutely.
To gay men.
Mm.
And Jason, how successful have you been with... have people been really interested? I know that when it happened in Melbourne and during Midsummer Carnival, it was really interesting to see that there were so many people. People were doing both the periodic survey and then usually going on to do the Count study, and they were happy to sit around, fill in a survey, and then sit around while this thing cured in their mouth, mm-hmm. which I think is what happened, and then for a little bit longer. So people were willing to spend some time.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about Count is that people could be providing the sample while they're filling out the survey. Mm-hmm. So it takes maybe a minute or two more to go through and explain the process and get them to consent to participating. But other than that, you know, they've got time to kill while they're filling out the survey.
Yep.
So the interest was really high. And at Midsummer Carnival, the biggest struggle, I think, was having enough people to walk participants through. We were just absolutely flooded with participants, which is great.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
You know, I think we were... it was aided by the fact that, you know, the gay community periodic at Midsummer Carnival is something that most regular attendees to carnival are aware of. They take part. Mm. And the tent is always something that is kind of a go-to point. So being a part of that has definitely helped us, I think, in getting things across.
And was that a similar, has it been similar to that across the country? So people are willing and interested in doing this new form of testing, if you like?
I think, you know, as I said, Melbourne was a different kettle of fish because many gay men in Melbourne may have participated in Suck It and See before, mm-hmm. so it's not necessarily new. But Sydney, this was very new, and we still saw high levels of participation. But what's interesting as well is I'm now following the gay community periodic surveys around the country. I'm seeing how they all kind of work a little bit differently, and I think those little differences factor in as well.
Does that translate over to sex on premise venues, that level of engagement?
Yeah, I think the participation in the survey full stop is generally a little bit lower than in bars and clubs.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lower amount of traffic, and it's a much more sensitive environment. But we still have high levels of participation among those who were there who agreed to fill out the survey.
Mm. Great.
That's really fantastic. Now, Murray, have we heard any feedback? It is our 450th show. We did let people know on air at joy.org.au. You can get in contact with us.
Yes, we've had a message come through from Carlos.
Oh.
Who says, keep up the good work, Jason. We miss you.
Aww. Thank you, puppy.
Sweet.
Listen, guys, we've had another message come through.
We
had two messages come through. Daryl says, fab as always.
Oh, thanks, Daryl.
And Stephen from Northcote says, happy birthday. You're doing a great job, Murray.
Oh, how good's that? What about the rest of us, Murray?
No, just says my name.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
Let's get back to Jason, our special guest today, former host of Well, Well, Well. Did it for 7 years? Six years.
Met
his partner.
Yeah.
Through this show. It's just all happened for him.
Porn stars,
Now, Jason, AIDS 2014, done and dusted. VAC was heavily involved with the conference. What was your involvement?
So my involvement this time around was just as a delegate. And even on that level, it was fairly exhausting. Mm. The Burnett was active in the conference in many ways. As I mentioned, Sharon Lewin, who is the co-head of the Center for Biomedical Research, was the co-chair of the conference. So Burnett was heavily involved in many of the meetings, both during the conference and in the lead up. So while the conference officially began on the Sunday, we at Burnett were actively involved in pre-conference meetings from, I think, the Wednesday before.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, as a center that does a lot of work in injecting drug use, there was quite a few pre-conference meetings around hepatitis C and HIV, around treatment as prevention with hepatitis C, with a new range of treatment options that are coming into play. But as well, Burnett was one of the sponsors of the MSMGF, the Global Forum for Men Who Have Sex with Men and Transgender, which happened the Saturday and Sunday beforehand. So we were there. Mm. We were everywhere. It was lots of 12-hour days, some great sessions presented at the conference. Mm. But was really happy to kind of fall into a heap at the end of it all.
But Jason,
as we all were.
Yeah.
We're all a bit tired, aren't we?
We are.
We're all become ill, actually, following AIDS 2014. Jason, you were saying before your work is in research at the Burnett Institute. Where exactly can we find the Burnett Institute?
Well, we're based in Melbourne, and we're based within AMREP, which is the Alfred Medical Research and Education Precinct. So just next to the main hospital campus.
And just down from the Positive Living Centre.
Just down the road from
VAC.
Exactly. So I haven't gone too far away from my South Yarra roots. Just a short stroll.
That's good, Jason. Now, Jason, what next for you? What next for Jason Asselin? Are you going to be at Burnett for quite a while?
Or are you coming back?
The live exclusive? Yeah, no. As I said, the study's about to ramp up again, so I'll be heading off to Brisbane next month. We're actually kicking off recruitment on my birthday at a leather party.
Oh, lovely.
Nice. Yeah, I know.
Oh, fabulous.
That's your 25th birthday party. Everyone's 25 to me.
No, 26 now. Okay. 26.
Ancient.
Aging gracefully. So then after that, we'll be going to Adelaide. So it's been a great experience. It's been a great 12 months. There's been lots of learning for me to do, and I'm still learning after working in the community sector since graduating, re-familiarizing myself with things that I was studying during uni.
Sure.
Has taken some time, but it's been a great opportunity for me to dabble in some of the other areas that CPOP is involved in, or the Center for Population Health, is involved in. So including the HIV and STI surveillance systems within the state of Victoria. So I've been able to dabble a bit with some of that data and obviously mine, go through a lot of the stuff that we've collected so far with Melbourne, Sydney and Perth. Mm.
That's right. We've had two more messages come through. Tina from Brunswick.
Tina from
says,
Brunswick.
A happy birthday. Great job, Murray. Murray and the team. And we've had another one from Carlos, who says to all of the team, well, 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 including me.
Thank you, Tina, and thank you, Carlos.
Thanks, Carlos.
Birthday. All of us.
I guess thanks, he's saying Tina. Happy birthday, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
We love the Brunny people.
And Tex says, thank you, Fluffy.
Hmm. Thanks, Fluffy, and thanks to Puppy as well. Jason, we've sort of covered AIDS 2014, but your has anything led from AIDS 2014 into what the work you're doing now? Is it or is it not?
I think it's still it's still too early to say. A lot of the sessions that I attended were very much about the movements in PrEP. Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that progresses here in Australia. Burnett's involved in the current Vic PrEP demonstration project that's now recruiting here in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the biggest link for me at the moment. But
it's a pretty big link.
It's a big link, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it'll develop more over the next year, I'd imagine.
Now, you've presented at various conferences, both here in Australia and overseas. Is there any particular conference that stands out that has informed something around health promotion or initiatives that we have undertaken or led to informing us a bit better?
I think the one that still stands out for me is Sex Tech, or what has now been rebranded to Youth Tech Health, which is a very small conference in San Francisco that looks specifically on the use of technology for sexual health. And the first time we went was probably about, I went the 3 or 4 years ago when we were doing the Being Brendo project, or its first iteration. And just getting to speak with other like-minded people who were starting to delve in the use of social media for sexual health promotion and share the approach that we had and see the response was really quite incredible.
Okay.
And I think particularly given its location in San Francisco, the amount of expertise in the area of innovation and use of technology, both you know, for sexual health promotion or for access to treatment and testing technologies.
Good linkage.
It's a great fit.
I believe, Murray, we've had yet another message in there on our 450th show.
Excellent show. Lovely to hear you all. Mr. John Hall, wonderful to hear you on the airways about an awesome 450 shows on air. Happy birthday, Philip Sweeney.
Oh, how sweet is that?
Isn't that gorgeous?
Sweet Sweeney.
Sweet Sweeney. Is that who it is, Jack?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Time has flown by yet again, gang. Can't believe it.
Well, it has, yep. Jason, been interesting to be back on air?
It's been great being back on air. Just as lively and entertaining as always.
As always, yes, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, we used to have a lot of fun on air, especially when someone hit the wrong button or the wrong track would play and we'd throw our hands in the air. Of course not.
When Tex would pick a song that everyone would think, what era is this from?
Would it be good if we were able to play sound bites?
Or not.
Yeah, indeed, or not.
The blooper edition. Mm. Well, well, well.
Well, it's a whole hour has gone by so quickly.
Almost,
once again. Thanks for coming back, Jason.
Thank you for the invitation.
We've missed you.
And Jason, it has been great having you back where you belong.
Oh.
With apologies, of course, to Louis Armstrong, Tex.
Yes, but I'm suggesting that not everybody listening is going to know who Louis Armstrong is.
See, he's my generation.
But perhaps if they've watched, what's her name? Shirley Temple movies, they might know. He was in a Shirley Temple movie.
And Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly.
The
Dolly.
Great Barbara.
High camp, indeed.
Yeah. So what have we got on next week's show?
I'm not entirely sure what we've got on next week's show.
We have special guests. We're back at the same time, same place, same studio. Program, same studio, except without Jason, of course. We'll miss you, Jason. But you can come back again.
I'll force my way back in here.
Next week will be our 451st show. Yep.
And I can actually see outside the studio they've got us a cake.
Oh.
Isn't that lovely?
Isn't that lovely?
More cake.
More cake.
And all of the current staff at Joy and the volunteers clustered around the window with happy birthday banners and balloons and all
He's
sorts of things saying how
joking.
Gorgeous it
so
is.
So when we get back to work, this will be waiting for us back at VAC, I think, Tex.
Yeah.
That's what that's all about.
Is that what it's about?
Day.
That's right.
All right. Well, we will be back next week. We'll have another sensational show. It's been great. Thank you to everybody who sent in a message today for our 450th show.
Yes.
Thank you to Jason for being our guest today.
Jason.
It's been great to have you
Jason.
Back in the studio. Coming up next, of course, is the Fab Fiona with an afternoon of fantastic music. We'll be back next week. Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.